Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Decker, how you doing, buddy?
We made
Yeah, we made it.
it.
So, how are you?
I'm moved and good.
Well, excellent. Excellent.
How
Well,
about
we're gonna have, yeah.
you?
Doing good. Doing good. Looking forward to this. We're gonna have some fun with one of the programs offered at Authentic Man or Authentic World.
Okay.
And this is something called the Top 10 Inner Game Sticking Points and How to Get Unstuck. And it's basically that you offer many programs at Authentic World, and this is just one of them, selected more or less at random. I want to go through it and just give people a sense of what's going on. In this particular program, as in many of them, basically the idea is how to teach, help men become more authentic and more real in examining their relationships with women. Most men relating with women do so in pretty dysfunctional, unreal ways. And so the first step, as you point out here, is awareness. And you say whether the first step to getting unstuck is always, first and foremost, more awareness about how you are stuck. When you have more awareness about how you get stuck, a different choice becomes available. So, for example, in the face of female radiance, most men feel overwhelmed. And so you say, in order to avoid feeling overwhelmed, men tend to react in one of three different ways. And all three of these are pretty dysfunctional. One, withdraw. Two, control. Or three, adapt. By becoming more aware of your particular habitual pattern of reacting, you'll have more choice about the direction things go from there. And so that's the essential game plan, is to bring more awareness to men's interaction with women and try and look for more authentic and real approaches, yeah?
Totally. So it's so funny you're bringing the top 10 sticking points up. It's been years ago since that came out, but we've a lot of our work is experiential,
Yep.
so supporting men, and we have courses for women also, but creating a context in which people really feel more connected.
Right.
Because it's not like people are thinking, well, yeah, I don't really want that real of a relationship. I'd rather have a fake one. Like, I wasn't aware that I was holding back or trying to control or withdraw or any of that stuff.
Right.
It's the stuff that we don't even realize we're holding back,
Right.
or we don't even realize is on the menu. I didn't even know that rich, more integral type of connection was even available, or I would have wanted it.
Right.
Later, I realized that it's a handful, and maybe ignorance was bliss. But at the time, I didn't even know. So a lot of it's experiential. But then, in the same situation you're in, there's guys all over the world that are wanting at least something to chew on, something to take a look at. So
Right.
you're referencing an ebook, and yeah, it was huge for guys to start noticing that, oh yeah, I didn't even realize I was feeling overwhelmed with a
Right.
woman. All I know is that I was kicking myself later because I was genuinely interested in her and was paralyzed and couldn't talk to her.
Right.
let alone being aware of how I deal with my overwhelm.
Right. And, of course, that's just indicative of how the male, and, of course, female, is relating to life in general. If you are withdrawing or contracting, controlling in your relationship with women, then you're going to be that way pretty much with life in general. And so this just becomes a highlighted, in some cases exaggerated way for you to, you know, become aware of this.
Women are great for that for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
More so than not getting that promotion at work or, you know, somebody keeps
right.
the car, I might be pissed for a day. But, man, a lot of – I was capable of sleepwalking through about anything. But when things are not going the way I wanted with women, it really – for me and for a lot of guys, it really gets someone's attention. And, I mean, I've seen guys who have amazing lives, but, man – that sticking point with a woman has their attention hooked for years.
Right.
I think in a way women can serve men by being a really poignant, visceral wake-up call.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like nothing else.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, this is the product of a whole lot of things. It's, you know, it's individual issues, individual shadow. It's also a lot of our cultural patterns at large. We still have some pretty weird ideas about relationships and sex and so on. And men and women can't help but internalize these and, you know, come into young adulthood with some pretty mixed up ideas. And as you say, but it's, you know, it's one thing to lose a job or not get that car or something. But relationships with women, when you're put down, dropped, told off, or accepted and stroked and so on, it has an enormous impact on male psyche. And the same with women. So it's a perfect kind of Geiger counter for just how you are interacting with the world and how authentic you are, how integral you are, how, you know, real you are. And so this, even though, like you say, this is 6 years old, the top 10 inner game sticking points, it's still, you know, a place to start and an example of the type of feedback and work and relational material that individuals can use to get these wake-up calls.
If we're going to be fixated, if we're going to be so obsessed and fixated on the lower left, on our relating and interactions and belonging and all that, then at least let's find a way to utilize that
right.
fixation for more transcendence instead of more dissociation.
Right.
Uncovering all those assumptions of the societal norm part, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because when we brought this work out, it was based on our own, like we were just eating and breathing this stuff in our own lives.
Right.
But right as we brought it out, it was like we were, our finger was on the pulse of what was coming up culturally. A movie called Hitch came out about Will Smith trying to help a guy learn how to meet women in
right.
a more real way. And it was bubbling up. And I do think that it's something about, especially with men, seeing that they either, yeah, they're suffering and dropped, as you said, but also maybe they got a glimpse of something that was actually nourishing
right.
for a moment.
Right.
And man, and then years go by with no more of that, but that moment just is etched in their memory that there's something possible beyond
right.
Just trying to make our relationships look the way we have been taught they're supposed to look.
Right. And I think this probably was cultural, and I think it had a lot to do essentially with the cultural creatives, the emergence of the green meme or pluralistic stage or postmodern awareness, where all of a sudden interior awareness and feeling and sensitivity is okay, and which is very different from the previous stage of sort of modern, hyper-masculine, scientific, business-like approach with, you know, no feelings, no interiors, no sensitivity.
Yes.
And so, you know, men were just brought up in that. And then all of a sudden we get this new wave of awareness. And men are, it's all of a sudden it's not only okay for men to look inside. It becomes sort of mandatory. And yet here they were without any guidelines or without any cultural guides on how to do this. And so you guys breaking into this and saying, okay, well, let's just look at ourselves and let's just you know, put ourselves on the block and see what we come up with. And working through all of this was, I think, you know, very, very cool, and has helped an enormous number of guys, incidentally, and women as well, as you continue to develop programs to basically look inside and to see, am I using all of myself? Am I using all of myself in an authentic, in a true, in a real, in a genuine way? Or am I blocking off, holding back, withdrawing, contracting?
That really fits. It's like basically we had no credentials or like any training really, but we just for some reason actually expected to enjoy ourselves and to enjoy our community, and which was a radical. It sounded like common sense, but very few people actually were.
Right.
And I do think that maybe that was on the shoulders of the cultural creatives that aren't just trying to fit into some mold of someone else's culture, but we're actually generating their own.
Right.
I do think we were surfing that wave.
Right.
It's fascinating, though, because while we were doing it in and out of monasteries, from monastery back into our living room with little intimacy parties and back to the monastery, there was a whole other group of guys that I would say are more the is it still the orange meme before?
Right.
That were trying to get the recipe down, like it worked. Just give me the procedure here.
Right.
We break it down, and I rehearse it enough, we'll get this down. And it turned into, it was more down in Hollywood. A similar group of guys were doing the same thing, but more from that meme.
Right.
That it turned into what's called the pickup artist movement, which is a fascinating thing in its own right. But the thing with intimacy, or the thing with women, intimacy, turn on all those is, they're not ideas. They're not just concepts. They're actual visceral experiences. So they're perfectly designed to defy our inclination to try to make a procedure out of it.
Right. To mechanize them, proceduralize them, and turn them into pickup gimmicks.
So it has. It's really served, again, to instigate, to get a lot of men in particular to evolve.
Right.
To see the limitations of the orange meme.
Right. And of course, you moved right on through green and into integral, and have sort of increasingly seen the work you're doing is integrally informed and integrally motivated, and serving an integral cause, which of course I think is great.
You were inspiring this work from long before you knew about Ashvedder.
Excellent. Well, let's have a look at a couple of these ways that men get gummed up in their feminine relationships. You talked about the three ways that men tend to contract in the face of feminine radiance and female in general. And the first is withdrawal, which is the act of pulling away from a woman because you are overwhelmed by the intensity of her feminine radiance and your desire for her. We try to get away from the intensity of the situation by pulling away in one form or another. One, you become a nice guy. Two, you get stuck in your head. Three, you become a wallflower. These are some of the most common we experience with the men we have worked with. And all three are solved by cultivating one thing, presence. What do we mean by presence? One, being in your body. Feeling the desire and sensations in your body, not checked out or up in your head. Two, owning your space, being aware of yourself and the environment around you without minimizing yourself. Three, being in the now, having an awareness of your life unfolding moment by moment and putting your attention on the present moment rather than on the past or the future. Presence is pretty much the foundation of this entire program, You have presence surrounded with appreciation, surrounded with integrity, surrounded with wholeness, surrounded with play. But it all starts with presence, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a holarchy. We've designed our training model as a holarchy where we don't even want to talk about appreciation, let alone integrity, if you don't have presence first.
Right.
Otherwise, it is dissociating. It is actually trying to act like what I think a woman is attracted to, as opposed to having it arise naturally from
right.
the foundation.
Right. And presence is something that is you get them started at this point, but it's also something that just continues to grow throughout the program. It's sort of, as you learn appreciation, you have to have presence, but your presence continues to increase and become stronger as you go along.
The degree to which it's not like digital in our work, but more of a spectrum. And the deeper one goes, the more range you have on the ones
right.
beyond it.
Right. And you state, the great thing about presence, when you're fully present, you don't have to do much of anything. Just being fully present, and present is always capital P, just being fully present is enough to bring a feeling of warmth and light to your interactions. And it really points out a pretty common pattern, which is that most people just aren't present, men and women. And just for starters, people just aren't present. They're living in their head, they're living in the past, they're living in the future, they're running games through their minds. And what they're not doing is just being here, being now, in their body, face-to-face, in the present.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny because back then I hadn't really studied any of the transformational stuff, so I just called it women's juju. Because I was noticing that even if I'm on a date with a girl I really like, there was particular women that could be in the club or the restaurant that they were particularly animated or expressive, and it felt like a magnet. It felt like she was drawing my attention. I had to like forcibly keep my attention just with the woman I was on the date with, or I was going to get in trouble. But I was aware of some sort of energetic draw.
Yeah.
And then later, a lot of guys who study our work also had studied David Data, so I think that's where the feminine radiance term comes from. But there was. The guys were dialing into this. There was actually a visceral phenomenon going on.
Right.
Which later we got in the EEG and heart monitors and stuff to actually measure that stuff. But and I think you refer to it in the subtle and
right.
subtle realms.
Right.
But we had no idea about all that. I was just calling it juju.
Yeah.
and yeah, there was something about being in a lot of these guys are trying to have real interactions in a bar. And it's like every interaction is like a strobe light.
Right.
It's just these quick flashes, pop, 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 pop. I think the pickup artist called the women short attention span party girls.
Yeah.
their title. And instead of a lot of these guys trying to hype up their energy to match the women, instead I just found myself more and more still.
Yeah.
Like I had been in the monastery. And the feedback from women was like, wow, that interaction was so it wasn't an impressive interaction, and yet I couldn't help but to remember that one instance of eye contact all night.
Right, right.
They were really appreciating someone who was actually just here in the moment.
Right, right.
It was deceptively simple.
Yeah, but working through really the only channel of direct contact, and so that, of course, is what they tended to remember. So sticking point number one is you become a nice guy. You can screw up in almost any other way and still have a fair amount of sex and dates without much trouble on your part, but being a nice guy will kill attraction. Solution, own your desire. It means actually feeling your attraction for her in your body without closing down to the feeling of it. A lot of guys think, wow, she's hot, and intellectually they're attracted without being present to the sensations happening in their body. However, if you can feel that attraction while simultaneously being aware of the fact that she is another human being with her own desires, hopes, dreams, and feelings, that's the sweet spot. So, again, it's a lack of present and a disconnect between mind and body. And so the guy's just thinking he's attracted and he's not feeling it.
Totally. I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying that Ken Wilber has read our old ebook. I had to pop out and just enjoy that for a second. But yeah. I mean, guys, we're coming in our courses, spending all this money and time to work on relating with women. But when we took a look at it, they weren't actually present to any desire for women.
Yeah.
It was usually more like they just had this assumption they were missing out, or their buddies were enjoying women, so they thought they should be too, or had good stories to tell or something.
Right.
As opposed to, which no woman was really excited to help him have a good story to tell.
Yeah.
Either there was actual desire and connection or not.
Yeah.
But it's one of those obvious things that even men who were teaching major seminars themselves were missing.
Right. An extraordinary point. And again, something, a very common, I guess, dysfunction, if you want to call it that. It's almost sort of part of our culture. We're still taught to be on very iffy terms with our sexuality, and sexual desire is still
totally,
you know, exactly, basically something that
sexual misconduct or sexual harassment and all that stuff.
Right. So men just become, you know, completely out of touch of what real sexual desire feels like, and so they're pretty jammed up from there on. At the same time, as you say, however, don't become your desire's bitch. If you lose presence with a woman due to your attraction, getting lost in fantasy, losing sight of the fact that she has aspects to her beyond simply being a sexual creature, then your desire is owning you instead of the other way around. And so it's probably one of the first ways that guys don't quite get it right in trying to feel their desire. And so on. It's just going too far, and losing presence with desire. And if you lose presence, then the desire is just going to basically run riot.
You know, I guess in a way, it's like integrally speaking, a lot of men were having to go back and reclaim red.
Yeah.
But then we also acknowledge. So, yes, go back and include what you left behind, the fingers and toes that you left behind that ladder.
Right.
And then we acknowledge blue in that moment.
Right.
I wish I knew the new colors, but we acknowledge more communion. That,
right.
And there is a relationship, and, yes, this is another human being who also has desires. So
right.
It's been a process of taking what we had really gained from an integral models and translating it into mainstream,
right.
Relevant topics.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the, it's a developmental issue, and as men and women grow through these stages, something can go wrong at each stage, and some of the earlier stages are particularly body stages, emotional, sexual stages, second chakra, that kind of thing, and the growth and development through that is where so often things go wrong and get split off, dissociated, disowned.
So dissociated that women, this was fascinating, but I'd be in a bar and I was realizing the only reason, I was like, the last time I was in a bar was because someone else paid me to go out here. I don't even go to these places. But we're here and I'm seeing, there's certain guys who had drank too much and had regressed to just pure red, like
right.
Ready to fight somebody. And he was not dissociated at all. He was clearly owning his desire.
Right.
And even if he was a little dangerous and women were not feeling safe or like actually wanting to be with him, they weren't. I expected them to be more repulsed by him than they were.
Right.
But I noticed a lot of women actually had a lot of appreciation for this guy because
right.
At least he was fucking owning his desire and his body and his primal
right.
side.
Right.
Most men were so dissociated, they actually had some tolerance for a guy who was a total jackass.
Right. Yeah.
He was honest.
Well, yeah, and that's what particularly confuses the so-called nice guys, is why all the women seem to go for the bad guys.
Classic, yes.
So sticking point number two, you get in your head, becoming unclear and foggy. The solution, as we were saying, get in your body, when a man is feeling full, present, and invigorated in his body, it is much easier to feel an enormous amount of feminine radiance without feeling overwhelmed or short-circuited. The first step to being fully present is to notice when you're not present and not in your body. This is the case when you're feeling foggy and in your head. You're thinking about something else while she was talking to you. What should I say? Rather than following your natural curiosity about the person in front of you. So when meeting women, notice the sensations and desires in your body and do so with presence. And that's what is missing in so many cases.
Yeah, another one was guys who didn't know what to do with their hands. For whatever reason, it was a good topic. You're in that situation where you're like, do I put them in my pocket or what do I do? That was a good reminder of like, oh, that probably means that I'm not feeling embodied. I'm not feeling naturally. Usually when I'm more embodied, more present, my arms hang naturally and they're engaged. They're not these appendages that are just kind of like flopping my body. But yeah, and we also noticed that men who studied martial arts, who don't have to be the martial arts is the one thing where even guys who don't give a shit about meditation or consciousness or this or that, they can still practice martial arts. And when they had, they took to this work much easier.
Right.
Because they knew how to stay here in the moment in the face of intense sensation.
Right.
In a way that most men just haven't, which is we're not accustomed to. You know, if it's intense and critical, then we go in our head and try to think it through as opposed to actually just stay here.
Right.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, sticking point number three, wallflower. You become invisible, a wallflower who is unnoticed or consistently passed over. The solution, own your space. The best way to understand owning your space is to imagine that you are in your party, your house, your room. Imagine that the room is small enough and you are big enough that you could easily reach out and put your hands on both opposite walls at the same time. In other words, you feel as if your physical space can take up the entire room. Those sensitive tuning forks we call women can feel it when a man can open up his presence and expands his awareness to include the entire room. It speaks to them. So, indeed, it does, and there's a difference between sort of shrinking away and not being, you know, present, fully present and expansive and open, versus being present and expansive and open.
Women have been saying, women are like, wow, the moment that guy walked in the room, I felt chills or this or that. And, I mean, they were talking about this. I just dismissed it as chick talk. I thought it was just poetic.
Right.
Girl language. I didn't realize that they were literally saying the moment a guy walked in the room. But once I actually took that more seriously, I thought about Mick Jagger walking out on stage.
Right.
Throwing G-balls out in the audience. Like the guy, the whole crowd, a ripple of chills goes through the whole crowd. So I just ignored that for a long time.
But there it is. And actually, it makes a lot of sense, too.
I was curious about that one for you. How does that make sense for you?
It makes sense. The exercise of touching the walls is sort of a very cool way to, encourage your presence to open up and be expansive and not contracted and closed in. So I think it's very cool.
Good. In the deeper integral work we do, we don't just skip to an exercise it is less of a yogic response and more of an exploration with them of what's going on for them when they become the wallflower. So they're more. So you're really including wherever those disconnects are and getting more in relationship with them in a way where you're less identified with it.
Right.
And then they find themselves automatically then transcend to a more expansive sense of self.
Yeah.
But for an ebook, we had to give them something.
So to summarize from the ebook, to summarize the forms of withdrawal, one, you become a nice guy, you hide your attraction for women and end up befriending them. Be honest, dude, you don't really want to be just friends with her. Two, you get in your head, you overthink your intention to the point of not even approaching or even enjoying the experience because you are so focused on trying to figure out what to do. Pretty counterproductive, isn't it? 3, you become a wallflower. You are so confronted by the social situation that you let your inner shy guy take over. The solution, all of these sticking points are resolved by cultivating more presence. And so presence is the foundation of this holarchy and is the counterbalance to these first 3 major sticking points.
And big picture, we had an ecological base for our
right.
company, so these interactions with a woman are representative of how we're relating to our environment, to our communities, nation to nation. The hologram is in full effect here, where we relate to ideas about each other instead of the actual experience.
Right, right. Okay, the second major reaction to being overwhelmed is control. The act of trying to make things go a certain way and resisting what is happening when things don't go as you wanted or expected. So sticking points 4 through 6 have to do with control. The next 3 sticking points relate to the ways that men try to assert control in a high-pressure situation with a woman. She becomes your captive audience. You become slimy. You become pushy. If your response to a high-pressure situation with women is to clamp down on yourself in order to play it cool, look good, and ultimately have control, then the cure is a good dose of what we call appreciation. Appreciation involves the degree to which you accept and experience or person as they are without avoiding or rejecting anything. We call this form of appreciation being a yes. And you note, this fundamental is actually rooted deep into Buddhist perspectives on non-attachment. And it just so happens that this ancient principle of accepting and embracing your experience as it is absolutely key. It shows your consistent relationship with the contemplative traditions throughout this. But being a yes is certainly fundamental.
Oh, yeah. Vipassana had a huge impact in
right.
particular.
As you point out, there is no way to be in full appreciation of her without first being present and relaxing into the moment, and then access your appreciation of her. So the specific sticking points on how we try to control, and that's moving on to the specific issues with that. Sticking point number 4, she becomes your captive audience. Is holding her hostage while you talk at her rather than with her. When you begin to listen deeply to what a woman is saying and allowing a natural give and take in the conversation without trying to control it, it will feel natural and engaging for both of you. One of the women said, "I don't care what we talk about as long as there's attention on the connection." So the point, the connection is more important than the content. How do we do that? A great place to start.
Which is so confusing for a lot of guys, by the way. women, when they talk to each other, it seems like they're not talking about anything.
Right.
Like, we're so focused on the content. It's like, what was the point of that?
Right.
But for them, it's irrelevant. There's a much more energetic dynamic going back and forth. That's the point for them.
It does seem to be sort of almost 2 different modes of how men and women tend to react. Men do go for content and get the conversation over quickly, and women go for the context and want to just continue the discussion, just for the connection.
Yeah.
A great place to start is by accessing genuine curiosity. First, notice how you're feeling in your body. Then connect to your desire. Why are you even talking to this woman? What drew you to her? What kind of person do you imagine her to be? What are you truly curious to know about her? From this place, allow the interaction to unfold. If you're really listening to her, there are infinite directions that the conversation could go. And so that's just plugging into the connection itself and then letting the content take care of itself.
Yes. This is funny because guys would come in and they're like, all right, I'm going to get this handled. I'm going to get this part of my life handled. And I'm going to go up talk to these women, and I've already practiced, and I'm ready to go. And so his attention is on trying to get this handled rather than on the human being he's supposedly interested in. But I'm not kidding you, man. And this is a great guy that I'm thinking of, but under pressure, he goes up, and he's talking to these two women, and they look at each other and roll their eyes at each other.
Yeah.
Which I was kind of cringing for him, but then I realized he didn't even notice. He was so busy trying to come up with something to say that he did not even notice. They rolled their eyes, which is why they were rolling their eyes, of course. And his intentions were so genuine that when you get to know these guys, it's really sad. It's a horrible irony.
Yeah, oh, indeed.
They're trying so hard. It's the elusive obvious again.
All right, bearing down on it here, specifically sticking point number 5, you become slimy. When women feel objectified by a man, they refer to him as slimy. Common ways men objectify women. You want to have sex with her, whether it is in her best interests or not. She is just an opportunity for you to practice approaching women. You are trying to make her like you. You relate to her as a target, an object rather than another human being who has her own unique dreams, fears, and vulnerabilities. The solution, relate to her as another human being. We call this shared humanity. Understand a woman's deepest desire is to be seen, felt, and understood. You cannot imagine how doing that will impact your interactions with women. Practicing this will open doors for you. And a practice for that is called soul vision. Imagine your gaze softening and opening to embrace everyone. Not just women, but everyone. Get present to them as human beings with their own hopes, fears, desires, and experiences. When you are receptive to all people, as opposed to just singling out the attractive women, people won't feel the predator vibe from you. This is what we mean by soul vision. Nice idea.
Huge. It's one of the tips that we'd give guys is that even language is so powerful.
Right.
And for a lot of guys, if he sees a quote hot chick walk in, to think that is a hot woman versus this is a hot woman.
Right.
Shifting that to this, for a lot of men, helps them be more with her rather than she's over there.
Right.
And I'm evaluating her. You would have loved it, man. You would have loved going out on some of these adventures. It's like a transformational seminar in real time. We go down to these extremely, extremely shallow, kind of superficial clubs down in LA, and it was huge for guys to realize when I would end up getting through all the different layers and walls with some pretty intimidating ice queen woman, and for them to realize, oh, she's actually planning on going home alone. She usually stays up till 2, kind of depressed, watching TV. They're like, This is a person. I somehow forgot that. So easy to have that pedestal thing going on.
Right. That's a really good point. Sticking point number 6, you become pushy. When some men approach a woman, they come in strong and with enthusiasm only to notice or not that her body language says she's barely tolerating you. Not a good way to start, is it? We may want something from her that she doesn't want to give. Her attention, a deeper conversation than she's ready for, her phone number, her body, you name it. In any of these cases, trying to implore, cajole, or otherwise convince her will in almost all cases continue to be met with increased resistance and resentment. So the exercise, discover your unmet need. When you are a no to a woman, or find yourself judging her, chances are there is something you want from her that you are not getting or that she is not willing to give. Perhaps you have a need for understanding or for her to accept you or for her to be attracted to you or to sleep with you. Ask yourself, what need am I trying to get met through this woman? And so you discover that and become a yes. That's got to happen a lot, doesn't it? All sorts of unconscious, preconscious desires, unmet needs, jamming up the situation just sort of desperately.
It's the rabbit hole that leads to the deeper coursework, the weekend intensives and things that we do is that one. In fact, there's, I don't know, a couple hundred guys right now, we're all on a no-woman diet together.
Right.
we're on day six of a no-woman diet where we're actively cutting out all the ways that we try to indirectly get a hit of self-esteem or validation
right.
in a way that's not actually rewarding for ourselves or for her.
Right.
And all kinds of stuff comes up. Talking about shadow work.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a shadow opener from the beginning, because getting into a man's unmet needs really do go sort of all the way back to mommy and daddy and, you know, all the early upbringing and just layer by layer by layer of development. All of the things that went wrong, all of the things that were dissociated, all the things that were disowned, all of the shadow elements. And once you get into that, that really is a rabbit hole. But it's also eventually one of the most productive and important ways to work. But it certainly is it's a big topic.
Yeah, sometimes it's like it's just the introduction to then go into a more clinical or like into a more therapeutic practice or a lot of guys end up getting a therapist for a while after this. But then a lot of guys also find that when they start building a community of people who are actually paying attention in the moment and honest and actually give a shit about each other,
right?
A lot of the things that you would normally go to a therapist for start to unwind. The things that you were so pushy or so shamed about suddenly become, like, a few weeks later, they're like really fun inside jokes. It's funny how shadow becomes art when it's in the right container.
Right. Right. And you know, just an unending topic in itself, but certainly something that comes to the fore in this particular dysfunction.
Yeah.
So, to summarize the forms of control, 4, she becomes your captive audience. With the fear of awkward silences, you chat endlessly and nervously, holding her hostage. And let's be honest, dude, you both know what you're saying really isn't that cool. 5, you become slimy. When you ignore her needs and let your desire overpower you, you begin to objectify her. We all know how hot she is, but really, have some respect for the lady. 6, you become pushy. When you come on too strong and aren't taking account of her needs in the moment, you're not giving her space to engage with you. The solution. All of these sticking points are resolved by cultivating more appreciation, being a yes, and embracing whatever is unfolding with you and her. And so we can see the holarchy kind of building, that appreciation is built on top of presence. So you first really have to be able to access presence, access awareness in the now, full embodied, open, transparent presence. And then with that, you can meet everybody, not just women that you are interested in, with appreciation and soul of it.
The question that comes up naturally is, okay, now that I'm present, how am I relating to what I'm aware of?
Right.
And I can respond to what I'm suddenly aware of in lots of different ways. And,
right.
And, yeah, we're recommending appreciation. Not, you know, a lot of guys heard appreciation, they're like, oh, I can do that. I'll give her lots of compliments. But appreciation is a quality of being. It's
right.
Oftentimes the opposite of compliments. Less
right.
of a lapdog, actually, and more of like, you know, if I'm saying, oh, you're so pretty, that's me, that's actually just me assessing and
right.
evaluating her.
Right.
As opposed
right.
to actually being with her and embracing and welcoming whatever's here moment by moment.
Right. Appreciation, again, is, it's a good form of presence and relationship, not only for women that you find attractive, but just for, you know, all human beings, to be able to have appreciation for human beings as human beings and their own presence and their own humanity and their own gifts and fears and desires is, you know, really a human way to be.
I like the way you say it when you acknowledge that there you can rank how inclusive any particular sense of identity is.
Right, right. And
but
when that's what makes it integral, I mean, an integral point of view is non-excluding. It's all inclusive, and so there's some fundamental level in which everything that arises is appreciated as it is, and you know, as opposed to.
Do you remember how you word it? Where it's you're basically like each individual is their experience is totally is equally valid. All beings' experience is equally valid, even if their level of development is less.
That's right. Inclusive. Yeah, everybody's right, and deserve to be approached that way. Whereas all the stages earlier than integral stages basically evaluate and think that their value structure is the only correct one, and anybody that has values different than them are wrong, are just wrong and absolutely out of it. And integral is the first stage where there's a realization that fundamentally everybody's right. Everybody has a piece of the truth, and it's to be approached that way. And that is just a monumental change in how
radical.
We, yeah, absolutely. the third way men react when feeling overwhelmed, adapt, trying to please or accommodate her, selling herself out and actually selling her out in the process. So sticking points 7 through 9, adapt. The next three inner game sticking points all involve ways we try to adapt or attempt to be accommodating to women. 7, become a doormat. 8, attach to how she responds. 9, become easily shaken. All three of these challenges are resolved by cultivating what we call integrity. And so this is the third stage to the inner game. Integrity involves the degree to which you are clear and unwavering in your commitments and values. Why it's important. Being grounded in your values means that you can make choices with conviction. As it turns out, women find this incredibly sexy. When women say they want a real man, they're talking about a man with integrity. And that's absolutely right on, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they're all general. They're all gross generalizations. I mean, there's definitely spiral wizardry going on.
Right.
There's lots of translation, and every assertion we make, there's tons of exceptions to.
Yes, of course.
And yeah, I mean, in the earlier stages, a lot of times with appreciation, women are like, "Oh, I feel so seen by him. He gets me so fully." And yeah, with integrity, it's more like, "Oh, okay, this is a real man."
Right.
It was a tendency we noticed.
And integrity has the feeling about it that even though the person appreciates you, he's going to be honest and disagree with you if that's real.
Yes.
And so that's not just a mindless appreciation and, you know, sort of a mind-numbing yes. But
Did you see the photos in the e-book?
Yes.
Those are my business partner, Brian. One of our housemates. They're good.
Sticking point number 7, you become a doormat. This means that they sell themselves short or get taken for granted. They feel compelled to align themselves with whatever they anticipate she will approve of. When you're not feeling your own value, you end up doing things in order to prove that you have value to her. We put her on a pedestal, afraid to disagree with any of her opinions for fear of creating disapproval. In this situation, we will do whatever we think will make her happy, whether we want to or not. The impact, nothing we know of, kills attraction faster than giving up your power like this. The solution, be free to disagree. Women want men who feel free to disagree with them or challenge them. It shows women that this is a strong man worthy of their interest and attention. Why we don't do this naturally? 2 reasons. 1, we are afraid or ashamed of our vulnerability. We hide a part of ourselves, the part of us that actually wants something. Our society has created an illusion that if men are vulnerable, they are weak. 2, we are afraid of her not liking us. We put her on a pedestal and do whatever we think will get her approval. All down the wrong path. But something that's also is sort of ingrained in a certain way in this culture, and that this kind of approach is what you need to do, you know, be a nice guy, that all that really does is let her know that you're not being honest.
Yes. Can I get you something? Can I be useful?
Yeah.
Can I endear myself in some way?
Yeah.
Whether it shows her that I'm a strong man or not, I do think it shows that I actually respect her enough.
Yeah.
To
right.
put my card on the table.
Right. Exactly.
Holding and trying to figure out what I think will please her.
Right. And that of course is something she's going to be able to detect almost immediately. And women seem, really, really sensitive to detecting that particular issue because they get so much of it. It's just sort of the atmosphere reeks of it when guys are doing it, and yet they completely bond. Sticking point number 8, you become attached to how she responds to you. When interacting with women you are romantically interested in, your attention is on anticipating what a response might be. I don't want her to think I'm hitting on her. And trying to get her to respond in the way that you want. The impact. You are incongruent. Your words don't match up with the feeling women are getting from you, and as a result, they intuitively don't trust you. Solution. Be transparent and upfront about your intentions. This doesn't necessarily mean that we immediately tell her what we want with her, although such a direct approach can often be powerful. Ideally, our words and body language are completely congruent with our intentions. Why we don't do this naturally? 1, we're afraid of rejection. Our subconscious mind believes that if we don't acknowledge our true intention, it can never be rejected. And as a result, we protect ourselves by projecting a false image of ourselves. Women are so used to this from men that, on a certain level, they simply accept it. They really believe that this is as good as it gets. However, when they encounter the rare man who has removed this layer of acting from his behavior, women are blown away. 2, we are afraid of making women uncomfortable. Most men try to take responsibility for a woman's experience to the degree that they try to manage her experience for her by veiling their intentions so she doesn't get uncomfortable. Ironically, it is exactly this behavior that often makes them uncomfortable. Behavior that just seems epidemic in this culture.
Totally. If she's upset, then that says something about me immediately.
Right.
So I'm going to try to anticipate her boundaries for her rather than respect her enough to set her own.
Right.
And this is where creepy happens. If slimy happens where I forget that she's a human being,
yeah.
Creepy happens where I'm veiling my intention in some way. But yeah, usually guys, if they're veiling their intention, it's not because they're trying to kidnap the girl or something. It's not a date rape thing. It's usually, I don't want to make her uncomfortable.
Right.
There's some sincere reason behind it, but she doesn't know that. All she's picking up on is he's veiling his intention.
Right.
Somehow. And of course, they often assume the worst, which is a safe assumption.
Yeah. And I can see how it would often take a program like this to get men to be able to break through something like this, like any of these sticking points, because it's going to be very hard for a guy to sort of get this knowledge and then know how to actually act.
Yes.
Seeing some of the examples on the website and the DVDs and all that helps enormously, but he's still got to try it, sometime.
Yeah.
Take that first step with a real woman, and doing that in a program like this would obviously help enormously, because he's going to clearly be a little bit unsure about how to actually do this. I mean, you're riding a bicycle, and so you do have to get on it and fall over a few times before you get it.
And a lot of guys will lose appreciation while they try to be more bold and direct. They lose appreciation.
Right,
which
right, does, exactly.
So it gets more and more subtle as you go up the hierarchy. But yeah, it's great to see guys get a direct experience of what it feels like when they stop veiling.
Right.
And how great, how much positively she responds. We even exaggerate. We'll do exercises where he's just describing what he's noticing with a woman in front of him. And by the end of it, she's giving feedback where she felt his attention and his desire. And she's like, but you didn't mention my breasts at all. I was talking about my eyes. I'm like, what about these breasts? I mean, it's just hilarious for them to help him burn through all the acting as if women can't handle the truth.
Right.
So fun.
And, of course, this unveiling process is also, a doorway to possibly therapeutic work and all sorts of other stuff as well, because the games people play, as transactional analysis puts it, you know, starts way, way early. It goes way down deep and has all sort of backing culturally. And so being able to spot the games we play, the veils that we put on, with women and with others, it's really the invitation to an entirely different approach to our own being as well.
Because we don't realize we're playing them. I mean,
exactly.
Like, how do you know when you're assuming something? You don't.
Exactly.
That's the point.
Exactly. Sticking point number 9, you become easily shaken. If a woman is at all offended or upset with you, it spirals you into a black hole of backpedaling and apology. The impact. She will long for a real man who is capable of standing up to her. She can't fully surrender and let go because she feels like she has to take care of you. Ouch. Solution. Access your composure in the face of challenges and tests. For example, take on a regular practice of yoga or martial arts. Practicing your ability to be with a lot of intense feelings without collapsing will greatly help you maintain your composure when a woman tests you in some way. Many of today's men seek out military training, martial arts, and extreme sports, some of the few situations in which men truly have opportunities to access their composure, their ability to remain centered, balanced, present, and receptive in the face of challenges and tests. Find a practice that allows you to practice this deep level of masculinity. And women test men all the time. And men's response to that test is the same as life tests men all the time. And the response that you give to a woman, the response you give to life, is going to be essentially the same thing.
Exactly. When you and I first met, later in the day, a group came in and you were working with bringing Integral into the NFL, if I remember right.
Right.
With athletics. And I think that athletics is one of those places in Western mainstream culture where it's one of the socially acceptable ways for men to have total, like, actual spiritual transcendent experience. And,
right.
And it's ironic that the game is more real to a lot of them. They know why they're there, and they feel more connected with their teammates and more actually engaged than they are in their day-to-day life.
Right.
It's really rare for them to actually have that intense real-life experience to find
right.
their center.
Yeah, and they're allowed to do it there, in some ways even expected to do it there. And so it is one of the few, very few places that men can, quote, be a man.
Sanctioned.
Yeah. A whole secondary issue about sports that we were talking about, of course, is that in sports, men and women often have peak experiences and have spiritual experiences, whether it's on the golf course or the soccer field or rugby field, wherever. And that it's probably, I was saying, the largest place for actual spiritual experiences is on the sports field, and that, you know, and it's just not talked about. That part isn't talked about, and it's still not something that's easy to talk about. And so, both men and women tend not to discuss, you know, the mystical spiritual experience that they just had, and just sort of high five their way through it. But it's an extraordinary untold story about the mystical side of sports.
I think in our country, the only time it's really cool to talk about altered states of consciousness are pathological ones.
Yeah.
Schizophrenia or something like that, or nervous breakdown, that's not weird.
Exactly.
That's legitimate, but to actually have positive altered states of consciousness is a little weird. But sports is the one place where it's okay to say, oh man, I was on fire. I was in the zone.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And very sad, but very true. So to summarize the forms of adapting, 7, becoming a doormat when you're not feeling your own value, she can't respect you. 8, attached to how she responds, she can instantly tell how you feel about yourself depends on how she feels about you, equals instant attraction, death. 9, becoming easily shaken when you feel the need to explain, justify, or make everything okay in your interaction with her. The solution to all of these sticking points is in cultivating your integrity. That, again, shows that's the third holarchical step in this inner game, and builds upon presence and appreciation. And integrity is basically your walk and your talk match up.
Yes. And you're clear on what you're committed to. Just because I'm appreciating things, I think Ram Dass was nailing it. He's like, yes, the world is perfect, including
right.
my desire to change it.
Yeah,
exactly. So I'm appreciating things exactly how they are, and I have desires. I have preferences. I have
right.
boundaries.
Right.
And integrity is not just being a real man, I'm going to provide for my wife and kids. This is integrity is where fun play fighting and banter and racy sexual experimentation becomes natural in an authentic way. So it's where the fun starts.
Right. Well, it's like we say, too, everybody's right. But part two of that is, and some things are more right than others.
That was the relief when I ran into the first book you wrote was that exactly. Someone saying that.
Right.
Relief.
Right. Sticking point number 10, refusal to take action. This sticking point is way too common. Many guys will read and read without actually applying and exercising what they've learned. It's like reading about how to train for a marathon without actually training. And this is what I was talking about with you know, actually signing up for programs like this, and you know, giving guys a chance to actually take the first step and try these things out. Because I think you know, it just be very, very hard to, you know, initiate it on your own, so to speak. I mean, of course, you can experiment with it a little bit here and there, but taking some of these steps can be pretty nerve-wracking, particularly since guys have never been taught to do this before.
Totally.
These are all new, so signing up is, I think, something that's definitely very, very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, they're buddies of mine who are leading huge transformational spiritual seminars themselves, and yet when we went out in that club or that bar, that woman didn't know that he's Mr. PhD fancy spiritual teacher.
Right.
And she didn't know that, and it's really where the rubber meets the road.
Right.
In some way, relating with women, like, okay, let's see how integrated these cool spiritual concepts are. So yeah, I mean, anyone who's interested, AuthenticManProgram.com will get you in the door. And if you're listening to Ken and I talk about this, then you may be turned off by some of the marketing and stuff like that. It is very integral in the sense that we're trying to speak to many different memes. These weekends have therapists from, you know, 30 years of practice all the way to guys who've been hiding in a cubicle for a decade.
Right.
So you got to sift through some of the different translations, but check us out. Come play.
And the last part here, I want to point out that as you continue experimenting and working with authenticity in general, you found more and more women were benefiting from this and were learning their own ways to do it, and you expanded into Authentic World, and you can find this at authenticworld.org. And I thought I'd just read the principles and promises of the inner game, as it were, for Authentic World. It's just, people can, in a sense, see your continuing evolution and unfolding. authentic world is founded based on these five. You have biases in parentheses, sort of viewpoints, really. One, self-awareness. It is better to be aware than unaware of my own experience. Two,
better.
Self-acceptance. It is better to fully feel and express rather than repress or deny my own experience. Three, self-determination. It is better to create my values rather than take on the assumptions, judgments of others inspired by my own experience. Self-love. It is better to play this game as right with ourselves as we possibly can be, even as we are also a masterpiece in progress. And five, self-transcendence. It is better to play this game in constant discovery of ourselves rather than filtering, rehearsing as a moment by moment dance. It's pretty cool.
You like it?
Yeah.
Thanks. We're talking about authenticity, so we're talking about there's no cookie cutter molds for how relating is supposed to look like. We're not embracing any one cultural format for it.
Right.
So it is kind of this open exploration, and we do want to tell on ourselves and acknowledge that we do have some biases, we have preferences.
Right.
And those are our five preferences.
Right. And promises. Five promises. One, keeping it real. 0% tolerance for unexamined woo-woo unless it works. Two, keeping it integral. All distinctions grounded in highest level transcendent frameworks we found anywhere, while maintaining down-to-earth results-oriented attitude. Three, keeping it legit. Our marketing will always be an exploration of how to motivate positive change by saying what we actually mean and actually delivering what we offer, even if it costs us sales. Four, keeping it humble. Our cultish stays in check to the degree that we own our opinions as our opinions and insist that your opinions remain your opinions. Keeping it authentic. Finally, no pomp to establish legitimacy. Our credentials are based on one thing, the value you receive. Those seem pretty straightforward and pretty real.
That's us.
That's us.
So far, so good.
And keeping it integral. Highest level transcendent frameworks we found anywhere. That's one of the ways that you plugged in to my work.
Yep, totally.
Very, very cool. Authentic world it is. And Decker, this has been great. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I know it's kind of a kick for you to revisit some of this earlier stuff. But I think it's very cool.
I'm glad you do. I'm digging it, too. I'm like, oh, that was pretty good.
Okay.
And I'm totally getting a kick out of just spending an hour with you, bro. So,
yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah, good. Okay, pal, I'm going to see you soon. You're going to come down here. We're going to do some stuff.
On my way. Just tell me when.
You got it, pal. Okay, see you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.